Again, I say welcome to everyone, wherever you are around the world, in your own little part of the world that you call home. Welcome to you, and welcome to everyone that's part of your life. Because whenever we touch each other in the heart and with the heart of Christ, we are activated, almost like a radio signal. We are activated. The love that we are radiates to those around us. And we begin to make a positive difference in life just by being who we are. So I see that Paul is on the call, but before I take your call, I just want to encourage others to come on early. It's really during the first 10 minutes that you make the greatest contribution by coming on the line, because you help me to know where your mind and your heart is right now, what your problems or your accomplishments in life are, where the blessing should be turned for this day. I've always got a good thought about it before I join you, because I spend a few moments with Christ, and he always sets my attention up to the best place to be. But I like to hear from you, too, and have input from you. So, Paul, it's great to hear from you. And before you speak, I want to tell you that I am so sorry I have not been able to get back with you for your inquiry through email. This last week has been a completely topsy-turvy week for us here, bringing the office here from Sedona, and then finding that most of the equipment does not work on our local ISP, having to order new equipment, having to struggle through even public access points just to download orders. So it has been very, very long days and very short nights since we have undergone that. But it's looking like next week will be edging a little bit in the direction of normal, and I look forward to calling you and speaking with you. So what would you like to share with us today?
Well, thank you very much, Glenda. And, you know, even after I left that message, I thought, I think I just had the feeling that you were absolutely involved with all kinds of technical difficulties.
That's an understatement.
I thought, just like talking about, I thought, oh, I kind of wish I hadn't done that.
I knew you would understand.
Yeah.
We have such a good friendship. I knew you would understand without words being expressed, just like you picked it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like of the people I know, everyone have their touch points with situations that they have, that they just don't have like natural interest or ability in, but they have to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I found that in many parts of my life in the last several years, especially since I got acquainted with you and your work, Glenda, through the book, and just reading Love Without End with such glee, thinking that I've never heard anything like this, but this is what I thought it should be like. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
So I was in tears much of the time because I couldn't hold it back.
Well, Paul, you were just remembering a truth you already knew. But due to the pressures of the world, you had temporarily gained forgetfulness of it.
Yeah, you know, the challenges I've had lately have been multivarious, and I certainly don't want to go through everything, but I'm finding in the midst of all these challenges, to me, challenges have a lot to do with whether I'm very capable in that area or not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get kind of lured into areas where, trapped or whatever, areas where I have absolutely nothing to offer, but I have to do it. And somehow or other, you know, by getting help from others, you know, how does this work, how does that work, I'm able to get through it. But now I'm actually finding here the two big things going on in my life. I thought, you know what I need most of all? I need a dealer for my art.
Oh, well, Paul, you know, that's something you and I would be better discussing between us on a private call.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure it relates to everyone else on this call, but that's a good question. And just discovering the question often will bring the answer.
Well, it's just wonderful because I thought that of all the things that I could want, that is what I need most, and that appeared.
It did. See, that's just what I said.
Exactly. And this gentleman really likes my work, just like the other people that have promoted my work and sold it for me with a very good, you know, relationship about the percentages and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very delighted, and this week we'll be able to get together and make more firm understanding between us. So I'm really pleased with that.
Well, congratulations, Paul. And actually, what you just said does tie into our message for today. And I have four other callers I need to take before I get into it. So why don't we just plan to have a discussion later on next week?
Well,
okay?
Wonderful. And I love your work, and I thank you so much for it. And I love you for doing the work you do and just for being who you are. And thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Paul. And we have a caller from area code 908.
Linda?
Yes.
Andrea, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
I want to thank you for the commitment you have every week to doing this work.
You are welcome.
There's a question that's pressing in my mind with reference to some people that I've come in contact with, and they tend to believe that Yeshua is actually God. What's your feelings on that?
Well, you know, I don't think it's a terribly interesting question for people who know him, because as you become to know him, you realize that there's a little piece of God in all of us. The only real question is, how far have you developed that God presence within yourself? And he has developed the God presence within him more than anyone I have ever thought of, contacted with, read about, experienced, or looked at evidence in the world. All you have to do is look at his life, and then the evidence that exists for the impact his life had upon the world. I think the reason theologically he is referred to as a son of God is because he's a bridge to humanity. And it was never intended that he be the fullness to which we could not all relate before his coming. He came to build a bridge between the human experience and the God self within. And he is as fully actualized as God as he can be without losing that human connection. And it's just a matter of degrees. And once you see the fullness of God in him, it's not a very interesting question. It's a question that hardly even needs to be answered. The only people it's interesting to are people who are so stuck in theology that they think theology is the answer. And they think that they can stay in their entrapped state of limited human awareness and just pray to a bigger being, and that will take care of life. And that's not what he came to the earth to create. He came to create a connection with us, to activate the light within us. Does that kind of help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we've got a caller from area code 321, and you're on.
Hello, Glenda.
Hi. Oh, hi, Scott.
Say, I wanted to say thank you for the teaching that the master gave and that you put in the book about the love structure dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that is a huge boon. And I wanted to ask if you wouldn't mind speaking encouragingly about maintaining magnanimity along those lines when smallness tries to rear its ugly head. You know, I get scratched up a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
I maybe get pulled down a little bit, get scratched up a little bit. I want to learn to maintain magnanimity in the love structure dichotomy?
Well, you know, Scott, that's what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. We just put a different title on it. We were clearing the meaning of forgiveness, and we were clearing the meaning of unconditional love, and all of that is about magnanimity and how we retain it. We're going to take the next step today, so I'd say just stay tuned in.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
And I'll take another call. Let's see, we have a wireless caller from area code 209.
Hi, Brenda. It's Sam.
Hi. Oh, I think I lost you. You might want to try calling in again. Something happened on our system. In the meantime, I'll take one other caller. It's an anonymous, and I don't have a number, so you'll just have to guess who you are.
Hi, Glenda. It's Cecilia.
Oh, hi, Cecilia.
Hi. And I'm hoping this question ties into your message today, because I know I'm asking it a little late, but I was having a great discussion with some other members of our lovely community, and we were talking about prayer, and the question came up, when we are able to really feel that connection with the divine through our sacred heart as we pray, do we really at that point, does it even matter that we ask, or does God already know all our desires of our heart? Is it more important just nurturing that connection? So I don't think there's a right or wrong, like we felt like it's okay to ask, but we also wanted the confirmation from you that is okay sometimes not to ask?
Absolutely. You know, the only person that benefits from asking is you. It helps you to clarify the desires of your heart. You know, I think you've noticed, talking with anyone, just like you are with me right now, just by getting into a conversation and having a discussion, you get the answer from yourself because you had the discussion. You know how that works, Cecilia? And I think that sometimes we need to clarify the desires of our heart. Now, Paul made a very good point of that when he brought up the fact that he's been having a number of challenges in life lately, and he finally realized that one of the things he really wanted was to have a dealer, an art dealer. Paul is an incredible artist, awesome. I mean, he really is, and when I say that, you can know he's an awesome artist. But like all artists, he's had ups and downs, and in our currently very challenged economy, most of us artists are have our attention on whether should I even continue painting or get a job at the post office. fortunately, I have other things to fall back on that are a whole lot better than working at the post office. Not to say that that's bad work. I love the people who serve us in that capacity. But the point is, when Paul asked the question, not only did he get the answer, he got the dealer. You see, I think that the real point is that when we know what we want, we connect with it. And we cannot connect ambiguity to ambiguity. It just doesn't work. Some of you have probably heard me give a somewhat qualified opinion of the whole work of affirmations. I don't do affirmations, and one of the main reasons I don't is because it presupposes that I don't already have the very thing I'm affirming. But some people report great gains in doing it. Now, I'm a firm believer that what they really get from stating an affirmation is they get more clarity about what it is they want. Once they have that clarity, then they get it, but it wasn't the affirmation that did it. It was gaining that level of focus and clarity. And so sometimes it's better just to be with God. Keep your words out of it and keep your mind out of it. Other times a dialogue can be very beneficial. So does that help?
Yes. That helps a lot. Thank you, Glenda.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see. Now, here we have area code 209, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Sandra. Trying again.
Okay, what happened this time?
Okay, this is a question I had last week. I watch the news, or I should say I get most of my news off the Internet, and I found that it was just so depressing. I had to just zone out last week. I didn't look at anything. Is there a way that I can kind of stay knowledgeable about what's going on in the world without feeling incredibly depressed about it?
Yes, there is. I stay connected, and I think a lot depends upon the amount of time we spend with it, who we learn about the news from, and a few pieces of information I'm going to give you today, and then also just being able to let it go without judgment. You see, once we judge something, and judgment is not just of the mind. It can also be an emotional reaction, like, oh, that's horrible. Oh, that breaks me up to hear that. How can that be happening in our world? You didn't make a mental judgment like those people are horrible or those poor people. But emotionally, you did. And doing that is like sticking your hand in a taffy bowl. And you try to pull it out, and the taffy sticks to you. It's like chewing gum. And it doesn't let go. That's the great penalty of judgment, is that we stay attached and connected to everything we've ever judged, even if we didn't mean anything hurtful by it, even if we didn't mean to objectify or derogate or to put a tone of malice towards someone, even if we didn't mean to be hurtful in any way, we still can judge by our emotions by saying, oh, gee, I'm sure glad I'm not living that life. That's a judgment. And we need to realize that. And that's why last week I gave you, everybody on our call, the generic form of forgiveness, which is to let go. Just let go. And that allows us to release without having that degree of emotional involvement. Now, sometimes it really pays to take that little extra effort and decide who you want to be listening to your news from, listening to the information from, and realizing that the whole idea of the news is to get you involved. Not just to sell products, that's part of it. Not just to sell network time, that's a really big part of it. But to get you involved with world affairs so that you can be manipulated along with it. And it puts us into a real catch-22. Whereas if we don't know what's going on, we're blindsided by ignorance. If we do know what's going on, then we get sucked into all of our mental opinions or emotional reactions. And it's very difficult to disconnect. So I want to go back to finish the whole theme of forgiveness. I want to add a little bit more to that. Sandra, did I sort of answer your question?
Yes, you did. That was really helpful. Thank you.
I'm going to continue now with the rest of what I have to offer. And I'm going to see if this doesn't help everyone just a little bit more. First of all, the world is full of what seem like opposites or dichotomies, but they aren't necessarily really opposites or dichotomies. Most of them have been created to get your attention. and to get you to take sides. How many of you have been online and so, and you'll see this pop-up ad wanting you to take sides? Would you vote for so-and-so? Would you vote against so-and-so? They're wanting to get you in a game because all games have opposites. And one of the sneaky little things about people that employ those devices is they know that we love to play games and we don't get enough of them. But you know, knowing that, you can create some good games in your life that are fun to play. Play with your grandchildren, play Monopoly, play a real game, something that is an open, declared, yes, it's game. Become a master at chess or bridge or some other, make a game out of your yard or baseball or playing with your kids. We seem to need games, all of us. But we can have the creative, proactive games that satisfy that need and create less vulnerability for the games other people want us to play. Because you see, so much of this stuff going on in the world is a no-win scenario inside a manipulated, engineered game to get us pulled into opposing or supporting one side or the other of what appears to be an opposite, a conflict, or a dichotomy. Now, let me give you a secret from Yeshua. And this is very important. There's only one real opposite. And that is, are you in the world? Or are you living a life connected with God? That's about the only opposite there is. And it's not that it's bad or negative. It's just different. If you're in the world, you will play the games of the world. You will be part of the judgments of the world, the contest. You'll be part of, the ups and downs of economy, the fears of whether it's terrorism or some other war or shortages of work or food or whatever, friends, you will be in the world, worrying about the problems in the world. And I'll tell you something about information that the world gives out. The world doesn't want you to know anything that does not serve its purposes. I don't care if you go to college and you get a PhD. The world will give you information that serves its purposes. God will give you information that serves the purposes of spirit, of spiritual living, of your soul, pardon me, the love that you are, and all that you can be as a true and higher being on this earth. And this is why it's so important at times for you to simply make the choice. Today belongs to God. That's the whole reason behind the fourth commandment, to respect the Sabbath and to keep it holy. It doesn't have to be all spent in prayer or at church or in meditation. You could be in the world but not of the world, and that's the way Yeshua described it. You could be playing with your grandkids, playing with your kids. You could be watering the garden, just admiring life, but being in that place from your heart, allowing your heart to be filled with inspiration. Inside each one of us, this is a story that my husband told me a long time ago when I was getting ready for a seminar. He said, you might enjoy using this. And he heard it from, I think it was one of his Native American teachers that he had connected with in Sedona a long time ago. And this grandfather elder was telling his grandson, inside everyone are two wolves. There's a negative one, or a bad one, and a good one. I don't know that he used the word bad, but there's one that, there's a negative one and a positive one. Let's just kind of keep it generic. I don't remember the word he used on that. And these two wolves are always fighting. They're always fighting. And so the little boy asked grandfather, well, grandfather, which one will win? And grandfather said, the one you feed the most. And I think that's a really simple summation of what I'm trying to get across to you, is you must feed the good wolf. If you want protection in your life, guidance, enlightenment for how to walk on a higher path that, as Yeshua described as being in the world, but not of the world. A good way is to be here on Sunday and receive a blessing. There are lots of other good ways. Read inspiring books. Listen to inspiring music. Feed the good wolf. And then remember that this is something you would not think about. But I promise you, the bad wolf thinks about, and the world thinks about, and that is any way they can keep you connected to their issues, their demands, their problems, whatever, any way they can keep you connected will allow them to feed off of your energy. Your energy goes to feed the bad wolf just by hanging on. Just by staying, just by being overly vigilant about, gee, if I don't pay attention to this, something else negative will happen. Oh, my dear friends, that's the trap. Actually, let me tell you something about positive and negative things in this universe. And this is basically a story of good news. It's an important, very important story that I will take the time, even though we're almost out of time, I'll take the time to tell you. At the end of every stage of creation reported in Genesis is the phrase, and God said it was good. And God said it was good. And God said it was good. Never did God institute in the entirety of creation good and bad. It was only, and it's good. So you may wonder, well, how did good and bad get to be part of this universe? Well, very simply, that all the patterns of the universe, all the patterns of life, just like you plant a seed, a little pumpkin seed, what will come up from that is a nice, cute little pumpkin that then will grow into a big one and have baby pumpkins that will then grace your dining room and give seeds off for you to plant pumpkins the next year. It's a good pattern. All the patterns of the universe are good. However, without intercepting the patterns and allowing some degree of randomness, of chance, of opportunity for challenge, and growth, there wouldn't be any challenging growth. It would just be dull repetition. So in between the patterns of predictable life, which are all good, they're all good. Every single one of them, they're all good. I don't know why mosquitoes were created, but I'm sure God had a plan for them. And you can be sure that mosquito eggs will hatch mosquitoes. So, all the patterns of this universe are good. But in between those patterns, there are storms. There are lightning bolts that sometimes will strike a tree in a forest and set off a forest fire. Now, what that forest fire does is it causes an interception of patterns that need to be refreshed. In this computer age, maybe one good example I can give you is that sometimes when our computer gets overloaded with information, the best thing we can do is to close it down and bring it up again. In other words, refresh it. Take it down. Bring it up. Allow the patterns to regroup. See, your whole computer is built out of patterns as well. Now, these viruses that are being created by the millions are designed to intercept the patterns. And if they intercept the pattern, your computer is going to not function properly because it's built out of patterns, not interception of patterns. But we learn about this, we adapt to it, we get a good virus protection system, and the company we subscribe to is always studying these patterns of interception. It's their business. But what if you sat around every day so worried about getting a virus that you couldn't use your computer? That would be pointless. You would soon hate your computer. What if you worried every time there was a bolt of lightning that the whole world was going to come down and disaster was going to rain upon the earth? Well, actually, ancient people did tend to believe that because they couldn't see a big enough perspective to see that negative things don't have patterns. You've heard the old saying, lightning doesn't strike in the same place twice. Well, that's not entirely true, but the likelihood of it is enormously close to being true because all the factors that were involved in causing that lightning bolt to strike will probably never occur again because it's not part of a repeating pattern. You see, most of the disasters that happen, hurricanes, tornadoes, they're part of a whole conglomeration of random potential that comes together in a unique moment and creates that devastation. But it's not a pattern. Holding our breath, holding our arms out, and living in fear that it will happen again tomorrow is no way to live. See, the good news is the patterns of the universe are good. There are random interceptions of those good patterns, some of them humanly engineered, like the starting of a war, an act of terror, an act of violence, an act of crime. These are not patterns. Even if you say, Glenda, but there's organized crime, oh, but they can't afford to ever do the same thing again the same way, they'll be caught. Don't you get it? Negativity, destruction, will be eradicated once it tries to form a pattern. It can't have a pattern. So you're wasting your time and your life energy holding your breath and holding your attention on something to maybe prevent it from ever happening again. This is one of the reasons we hold grudges. This is one of the reasons we don't let go. Well, if I let go, it might happen again. I want you to see the irrationality of that. Let go. If it's that one in a million situation where it does happen again, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it won't happen a third time. The odds are just so against it. The only patterns in our universe that can survive and endure are the good ones. So, that's what the good wolf is. If you feed the bad wolf, you're focusing upon these negative things, and actually what you're doing unintentionally is you're giving it reinforcement. You're giving it a short-term patterned possibility that creates a likelihood it will return. Let go. And that's why Yeshua said, forgive 70 times 70 times 70 into infinity. let go. And then you focus upon the positive patterns of life. Now, that's what we do in offering you the blessing. This comes from God, the creator of all good things, all good patterns, who knows how every cell in your body is patterned to do the optimum thing for your life, who knows how you, as a unique personality, were created to be part of a pattern of life to have the greatest possible benefit to your fellow man and to this earth. To God the Creator, who understands how you can contribute, how you can get well financially and socially, who your best friends are likely to be, who your best relationships are likely to be, because God, the master of all patterns, is simply goodness. The Holy Spirit that moves through you in the blessing is what enlivens and empowers this to bring it more life, more potential, more expansion. And Yeshua, the bridge builder, who fires the spark of God within you, helps you to be a more perfect receiver of all the blessings that were intended for you from the beginning of all creation. And that's what's happening with the blessing. Now, I think it's time we moved on, because I did take a little extra time there to build a point that I really wanted to make, because it really should not be an issue for you about, well, what are the liabilities if I forgive something? There are no liabilities connected to forgiveness. You are not giving permission for something to repeat. You are not empowered with the grace of God to teach that person a lesson. Only God can do that. You just simply do, you want to get back to your life and have the best opportunity for healing and recovery from whatever happened to you of a negative nature. So, let's be in our blessing position. Blessing givers standing, please. And those receiving seated. Your feet on the ground. Remember, our beautiful, beloved earth is part of this. She holds a tight, empowering center for the magnetosphere, as it's called. The whole, we're going to talk about that. I've just introduced a new word we're going to clear next time. It's about the atmosphere that is magnetically driven. And that includes everything from the weather to your feelings, to the moods among people, and the migrations of animals, and the changes of cycle and season. And it's a great subject we're going to talk about next week, so be here if you want to know more. Your earth helps to anchor you into an optimum connection with the magnetosphere. Then your heart. Allow your attention to fall in your heart, just to be the love that you are. Be with Christ. Be with those you love. Be in the heart of your being. And surrender your mind from its heavy load of daily work, trying to figure out the impossible. For the mind is designed to live in the world. And in the world, there really are no answers. We can get temporary, momentary solutions to specified problems, but there really are no answers in the world. So release your mind. Let it sit on the park bench while you enjoy a higher presence with life. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in through the top of your head. Be with that Spirit. Be joined with it. Receive it unconditionally. And now, if you will join me in my invocation to Yeshua, I will say my prayer to him, and then we will be together in our conveyance of the blessing. Dear Yeshua, we are so grateful that you came here to retrieve the flame of God that lives within us all, that we may be more connected with our Creator and receive the salvation of that blessed, enlightened, fulfilled connection. We ask that you would use us today to reach others who are not so connected, who do not know to be here or even to pray, but they are part of our world. They are part of all that we are. We ask that you be with them through us, that we may extend our love beneficially and benevolently to the whole world. Amen. Now, begin your prayer, please, and the blessing givers and I will conduct the energy of it. After that, you will go for 7 minutes and just rest, receive, and integrate.
The blessing has been given. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Let it become part of your life, heart, soul, and being on all levels. Be with God. And I look forward to being with you again next week.